Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dread Time Stories. I'm your host, Dr. Phobia. And tonight, dear patients, our story comes from the world of unsettling stories. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's tale, The Last of the Trick-or-Treaters. Last Halloween, at 11:25 p.m., the doorbell rang. I had just gotten into bed. Thinking I could ignore it and go to sleep, I clicked off the TV and pulled up the covers. The doorbell sounded again, and again, and again. I threw off the covers, put on my bathrobe, and stormed out of the bedroom. If it was a group of kids playing a prank, I told myself, even their parents wouldn't be able to identify their bodies. I unlocked and opened the front door. On the doorstep was a young boy wearing a Native American headdress and an ornately beaded leather vest and pants. He was clutching a bag of candy to his chest. No one else was around. It was unseasonably cold that night, and without any adults around, I couldn't let the kid stay out here and freeze. He looked miserable. I held him by his shoulder and guided him inside, and then I picked him up and placed him on the couch. I didn't know what to do. Calling the police seemed like the best solution. So, I called the non-emergency police. While I waited on hold, I heated up some water to make the kid a mug of hot chocolate. The kid just stared at me while I stood in the kitchen. He didn't say a word. I really felt bad for the little guy. The receptionist at the police station answered, and I told her what was going on. She said she hadn't heard about any missing kids, but as soon as a car was free, one would be sent over. She cautioned it might be a while, though. Apparently, Halloween is a very busy time over there. With the water boiled and the instant hot chocolate made, I went over to the kid and sat down next to him on the couch. I placed the mug on the table across from us. After cautioning him that it was hot, I figured I needed to talk to him. Nice costume, I told him. It really wasn't that nice. Pretty insensitive nowadays, but whatever. Thanks, he replied. So, did you lose your parents? I asked. The kid shook his head. What about your brothers, sisters, friends? Again, no. Want to try the hot chocolate? It's really good. I don't like chocolate. Okay. I picked up the mug and started drinking it, wondering if the kid was off or something. I mean, who doesn't like chocolate? We sat in silence for a while. He kept his eyes on the unpowered television, while I did everything in my power to not appear creepy. I never really know how to act around kids. So, did you have a good time trick-or-treating? I asked. Then I realized it was a stupid question. He had gotten separated from his friends or his family, for God's sake. How good could it have actually been? The kid, to my surprise, nodded. I got what I wanted, he said. Oh, what was that? The doorbell rang again, and I hopped off the couch to answer it. Two officers. I invited them in, and they saw the boy on the sofa. They greeted him and asked him the same questions I had. He had nothing to say to them. In fact, he looked angry, almost like he hated them. After a few minutes of getting nowhere, the officer said they were going to bring him back to the station. There still hadn't been any reports of a missing child. Just as they were about to leave, there was a call on the police radio. Something about a murder at 113 Chestnut Place. The three of us stood very still for a moment. I live at 115 Chestnut. My neighbors, Paul and Lynn Chesney, had lived there for decades, and they were the curators at the local museum. The officers answered the call on their radio and said they were nearby. They were told backup would be there shortly. Wait here, the cops ordered, and the kid and I just looked at each other while the two men left the house and beat feet for next door. "Don't worry. It's okay," I promised the boy. He looked flat, unaffected, and then he turned and looked straight at me. "Bring this to the MTIC. It all belongs to them." He handed me his bag. I was extremely confused for a second, wondering why the local Mohegan tribe would want Halloween candy. I opened the bag and gasped. A bloody stone knife sat atop a pile of beautiful beaded vestments, ornate carvings, and other old-looking artifacts. "Your neighbors have been keeping these from us. We tried to get them back, but they just laughed and mocked at our efforts. But they're too important to give up, especially after all we've been forced to give up." I stood there like an idiot, holding the bag as sirens approached and the commotion outside grew. "Give it to them," the boy shouted with a deep adult voice that was entirely out of place coming from his small body. And with that, he vanished. The headdress and pants and vest dropped into a pile on the rug. I spent a good 45 minutes convincing myself that I had gone nuts. Hours later, an officer came back for the boy. "What happened over there?" I asked the cop. I already knew, but I needed the confirmation.
"Looks like the couple got killed in a robbery attempt," he told me. "Their daughter came home from a Halloween party and found them with their throats slit. I'm sorry."
I let out a long sigh and nodded. "Where's the kid?" the officer asked. I had an answer ready. There was a family going door to door with a picture of him. I guess he'd ran away. He's back with them now." The cop shook his head.
"And they didn't even call us?
Good God." He paused.
"Well, okay. Good night, and I'm sorry about your neighbors. We'll have officers in the area until we find whoever did this."
I thanked him and closed the door. It was almost 5 a.m. It was far too late to go to bed. I had work in a couple hours. So I sat down at the computer, and with the kid's bag next to me on the desk, I mapped out directions for my drive to the MTIC. That was the last of the trick-or-treaters. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening. Like I was saying in closing, check under your bed, look in your closet, and sleep with the light on. The life you save may very well be your own. Good night, everyone.